إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون My dear brothers and sisters, it is the great mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that He has granted us this month of Ramadan al-Kareem, about which He said in the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which I recited for you just now, fasting, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ There is a purpose for which Ramadan al-Kareem has been sent. It is true that in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sinners more than He forgives any time else. It is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month gives the reward of fard for every nafil ibadah. It is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward of 70 times the fard for every fard. It is true that the shayateen are chained. But the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem is not all this. The purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem is for us to become muttaqoon. I remind myself and you that this purpose is what we should keep in mind. All the rest of it is the benefit. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the generosity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easier. It is not a level playing field. The playing field is skewed in our favor. But we still have to play. There is no reward for spectators. The playing field is for the players. And that play is to monitor our taqwa. I need to ask myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan al-Kareem in order to give me an opportunity to become a muttaqi. Is this happening or not? And if I believe that I'm already a muttaqi, then is there room for improvement, or do I think that I'm already at the peak and beyond this there is no increase in my taqwa is possible? Is that what we have in terms of our mind? And if the answer is that yes, we need to work on becoming muttaqoon, and even if we believe that we have taqwa of some level, then this level needs to be increased and enhanced, then this has to be monitored. This must be monitored, because what you do not measure, you do not control. And what you do not control, you cannot guarantee. This is the principle of Six Sigma quality, which applies to Ramadan, which applies to Salah, which applies to all kinds of ibadat. And this is why I always keep quoting that, because that's my other hat, which is in quality control. So how do we monitor taqwa? Before monitoring taqwa, we have to remind ourselves about what taqwa is. What is taqwa? As you have heard me say this many times, many of you are people who have suffered me many times before. The definition of taqwa, which is generally given in translations of the Quran, is fear of Allah. Whether you are reading an Urdu translation or an English translation or something, it is taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. If taqwa is fear of Allah, then what is khashyatullah? That is also fear of Allah. Then why are two different words used for the same thing? Second question, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a typical quality, a distinguishing, differentiating factor about the believers? Where he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. I submit to you that fear is a negative emotion. Fear produces hatred. Fear does not produce love. You may obey the one you fear for fear of the evil that may come from that person. Ask a small child, ask your child to go to school and does not like a teacher because the teacher punishes him or beats him or something. And you ask the child, do you fear that teacher? He will say, yes. You say, do you love the teacher? He says, no. Do you obey the teacher? Yes, I obey the teacher. Why do you obey the teacher when you don't love? Because the teacher will beat me. But Allah is not saying that the believers hate him. They say the believers love him. And how much do they love? Ashaddu hubba lillah. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anyone and anything else. So how do you bring these two concepts, the concept of khashyatullah, which is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together? How do you bring these two together? I don't bring them together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it together in the concept and meaning of the term taqwa. Taqwa is the fear of the offending or disobeying or displeasing the one we love the most. So the more the hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, the more the fear of displeasing him also increases. So the muttaqi is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else, and therefore he or she fears to disobey, fears to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he loves him so much. Now I submit to you that it is possible to love only those you know. You cannot love somebody you don't know. If you only know a name, in this case Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two things are required. One is to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like any mithal, any example that is given to about him. The example is given only to illustrate and to teach. Think about a person that you would like to meet. You just know the name, but you would like to meet this person. You go and make friends with that person. You find out about that person. Then you try to spend as much time in the company of that person as possible in order to bond. In many cases, that person might be your own father, might be your own son, might be your own mother. In a different context, I ask people sometimes when we are talking about parenting and so on, I ask them, when was the last time that you had a conversation with your child? I'm not talking about go get this, get that. That's not conversation. When was the last time you had a conversation with your child? When was the last time you had a conversation with your parent? When was the last time you had a conversation with your spouse? And so my question is, when was the last time you had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was the last time you talked to Allah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Sami'ul Basir, he is the one who hears and sees real time. Who alimu bidhati sudur, he knows what is in our hearts. He understands all languages because he created them. So when was the last time we talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Do I only know about Allah or do I know Allah? So therefore we have to begin somewhere, and the somewhere is to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us. And nobody can introduce Allah better than he introduced himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us in two ways. One is by mentioning his glory and majesty, his asma wa sifat, his names and attributes and his qualities. And the second way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself to us is by mentioning His ihsanat, mentioning His favors, mentioning His gifts to us. So let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with regard to introducing Himself. You know all of these ayat which I am going to recite, so I am not going to translate them. But just listen to the recitation of the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's introduction of Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm, له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in terms of His blessings and His ni'mat.
أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ ثُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا.
And there are many other places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself. Two ways to reflect on His glory and majesty and to reflect on His blessings on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the general blessings that He has bestowed on all of mankind. My submission to you is, after that, reflect also on the special blessings that He has given to you and me. Individually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you special things that He has not given others. He has given me special things that He has not given others. We need to reflect on them and we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them one by one by one. So therefore, I remind myself and you, Ramadan al-Kareem comes to help us to become muttaqoon. Taqwa is to fear to disobey the one we love the most. We love only those we know. And therefore, we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu by knowing about Him and by spending time with Him. Spending time with Him means spending time in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously standing, sitting and lying down. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to make the maximum out of Ramadan al-Kareem, to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan in your and my life, because we do not know whether this will be the last Ramadan in our lives. One thing for sure, one Ramadan will be the last one in your life, and one Ramadan will be the last one in my life. Whether it is this one or it is scheduled to be the one 10,000 years from now, I don't know. But one of them will be the last, after which there is no more Ramadan in the life of that person. And therefore, wisdom is to treat every Ramadan al-Kareem as if this is going to be the last one in my life, because it might be. And then if Allah gives me a next one next year, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then I treat that one as if it is going to be the last. Until I actually reach the last one, I don't know which one that will be. But Alhamdulillah, because we have developed this mindset, that one also we would have maximized the benefit we could possibly get from it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enhance that benefit for you from His grace and majesty. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, I was reminding myself and you about the importance of monitoring our taqwa. We talked about the importance of taqwa, and we talked about how to try to develop this taqwa. But how do I monitor how I am doing? Because as I said, unless you measure something, you don't know what it is. So how do I measure? How do I know whether my taqwa is good or bad? Whether it is there or it's not there? If it is there, what level is it? What is the monitoring technique for this taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a monitoring technique for taqwa. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the believers. Who are the believers? The mu'minun, the muttaqun. Allah said, verily the believers are those, and He described five qualities. They are those whose hearts shiver with the glory and awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before them. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, their iman increases. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. As a result of these two things, they have tawakkul and reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And this internal condition of taqwa and this internal condition of tawakkul, they express in the outside world by وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They establish salah. They establish salah in their lives. And they spend from what we have given them. Five qualities. Three of them internal to the person. Heart shivers with the fear and grace and glory and awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Condition of the heart of the muttaqi is a heart which is alive, which responds. And the second one?
When the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, when they see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them in the kainat, their iman increases. They see the ayat and say, Subhanallah, this is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. As a result of these two things, what is the condition that is produced? That is tawakkul, which is trust and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. This is the declaration of tawakkul. In Surah Al-Fatiha, the declaration of tawakkul is Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'budu is the declaration of tawheed, and Iyaka nasta'in is the declaration of tawakkul. So let us see, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create? We're looking at the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When His name is mentioned, when His ayat are recited, we have seen that. Let me give you some other examples of the ayat of Allah in creation. The first ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Rabb who created everything. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayhi says there are two kitabs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the open book, which is the kainat, which is nature, which is creation, which is the universe. And the second one is the mushaf, which has to be opened to read. This also has ayat, that also has ayat. And how do I say that there are ayat in the creation? Because Allah said so. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا آيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah said, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs, there are ayat. Just like there are ayat in the Quran al-Kareem. That's the reason why I object to the translation of the Quran, the word ayat as verses. The Quran does not have ash'ar, it has ayat. It has signs. A sign demands action. A share does not demand action. You can read verses from morning till night, you don't have to do anything. But if you look at a sign, immediately you say, what is the sign? A sign is pointing to something. A sign means something. So if you look at it as a sign, you say, well, I have to understand this sign. I can't simply say red light, red light, red light, red light. This is not a sign. I have to see what is the meaning of red light. Red light means I have to stop. Yes or no? But we are content with reading red light, red light, red light. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said signs of Allah in the creation. I was in Vilpattu National Park in Sri Lanka 2 weeks back. No, 1 week back. And we were photographing, me and my friend Ifam Raji, we were photographing a grey hornbill in its nest. Now we spent about, roughly in two sessions, we spent about 8 hours in front of that nest. Just parked there, taking photographs, hundreds of thousands of photographs. Now to give you an idea, why am I talking about this? The grey hornbill and other hornbills as well, the hornbill birds, what they do is that at the time of breeding, they find a hole in a tree. And the female lays 4 eggs, white colored eggs. And between the male and the female, they seal up the hole with cement, which is made from clay and from their own droppings and so forth, and saliva. They seal up the hole and they leave only a very small hole in it for the beak of the female to come out. That's it. The female is like inside a grave. She is sealed up inside this hole. And that cement is hard. It becomes very hard. She can't even break it by herself to come out. Now during the entire period of incubation of those eggs and initial period of the birth of the chicks, the male feeds the female. He works very, very hard. Every morning till night he is going into the forest, he finds berries and he finds insects and he finds lizards and all kinds of things, and he brings them and he pushes them through the hole in that nest. It's an amazing thing to see. Wallahu khairur raziqin. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. That female bird is doing nothing. She's just incubating the eggs. The male feeds. Now if that male happens to meet with an accident or, you know, get killed by a hawk or something, this female will die in the nest because she can't come out. Now we saw this happening. So when I'm sitting here now with my lens and so forth and watching, I see this male come and he has a single red berry in his beak. Huge big beak, single red berry. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, this one berry at a time, this thing is going to feed. I mean, how many times it has to do this chakkar? Back and forth. He comes there, he puts the berry into the hole, then he regurgitates. And when he regurgitates, out comes a big green beetle. He puts that inside. Then he regurgitates and comes out a grasshopper and he puts that. And then he regurgitates and comes out a lizard and he puts that. And then he regurgitates green berries and blackberries, red berries and blackberries one by one by one. It's a fantastic, beautiful process to see this huge big beak and one berry at a time comes out from this end of the beak and travels all the way to the top, and very delicately he holds it and puts it into the nest. And I sat and watched this for 6 hours. And all the time I'm saying, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Wallahu khairul raziqeen. Inna Allah huwa razzaq dhul quwwatil mateen. You want me to be worried about my resources? About my provision? You want me to be worried about my job and my dukan and my makan and what not? Look at this. Look at this. Ayatullah. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. عجيب, huh? But you can only see if you can see. There is a difference between looking and seeing. Looking is a function of the organ. Just like hearing is a function of the organ. But seeing is a matter of intention and knowledge. Just like listening is a matter of intention and knowledge. We can hear many things, we don't always listen. We see many, we look at many things, but we don't see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, see, because the signs are there. And there are other examples, because it is Jummah and I am constrained by time. And for some reason, this beautiful masjid of mine, I call it mine because it's the first masjid that I ever gave a khutbah in Kuwait, and every single visit, at least one khutbah I give here. There is a clock here on this post, which I think is holy. Most likely this, I'm sure there is some religious significance to this particular clock. Because this clock has been there from the first time I came to Kuwait in, I think, I don't know what it was, 2011 or something. And the time is exactly the same. It is 20 minutes to 10 o'clock. And then they tell me that you have so many minutes to finish the khutbah by looking at a clock which is has the same time for all these years. So I think this is they're testing my ability at karamat or something, wallah alam. So I don't want to bust my boundaries. I've never done that till now, so I'm not going to do it now. So I leave you with this thought. Let us look around us, see around us. Recognize the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, thanks to cameras, today, thanks to fantastic DVDs, today, thanks to programs like Planet Earth or the Blue Planet, BBC is amazing. BBC has got a free app. Download it on your phone. It's a free app of Planet Earth. It's got all the episodes. Thanks to that, thanks to technology, which is the result of the creation of the mind of the human being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah enables us to go right close to things otherwise which we could have never seen. Along with this khutbah, I'm going to ask them to send a fantastic TED talk, and then there is also a very fantastic video about creation which I'm going to send with this particular lecture, inshallah. Look at these things and say, Subhanallah, Allah has shown us all of these things. This is ibadah, believe me. This is ibadah. To watch this with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is dhikr, the ayn of dhikr. So how do you monitor your taqwa? By seeing what happens to your heart. By seeing whether it builds our tawakkul or not. By seeing whether our iman increases or not. By seeing whether we have established salah in our lives. And by seeing how we spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So I mentioned to you the importance of monitoring Ramadan al-Kareem. And Bismillah Ta'ala, I have also explained to you how this monitoring is to be done by a meter which is supplied to us and given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and to enable you to make this Ramadan the best in your lives, to give you good health until the last breath in your life, to keep you in a state of obedience and to take you in a state of obedience. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and to protect your families and your children and your countries. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all the shurur of this dunya and of the akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you success in this dunya wal akhirah. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما اتيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فانك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فانه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.